And those who of you are still with me, how about you grab out your Bibles? You don't have a Bible, scoot really close to somebody next to you that does have a Bible, because it's a bit cold in here today. But that's okay. Shoulder time. Yeah, that's right. Hey, last couple weeks ago I told you that there is a couple of books that I really love. We rise. There's no one like you. In fact, even actually going into this sermon series. So the first one is this, You and Me Forever, by Francis and Lisa Chan.
Good morning, welcome somebody here, and it's good to see you on a cold Sunday.
Is wise, like a person who builds a house on solid rock. Though the rain comes in torrents and floodwaters rise and the winds beat against that house, it won't collapse because it is built on a bedrock. But anyone who hears my teaching and doesn't obey it is foolish, like a person who builds a house on sand. When the rains and floods come and the winds beat against that house, it will collapse with a mighty crash. Let's pray. Hey, dear Heavenly Father God, as we unpack what's going on, Lord, I would just ask that we could look at our marriages and we would have a desire to stay pure, and that we would be able to read your scripture today. And that we'd be able to know that you're speaking to our hearts and that our hearts would be turned to you and that we would have a desire to live your truth out in our lives.
Are you going to welcome or do you want me to?
No, that's I'll let you do that.
Welcome, okay. Yeah. Welcome to Glasgow Evangelical Church this fine Sunday morning. How are you all doing?
Great God, there's nobody else we'd rather serve. In your name we pray. Amen.
Nothing. Yeah. Let me try again. How are you all doing?
So, those of you who don't know a little bit of my
this
story,
morning.
I dated
a
girl for 7 years. Nicole, number one.
I prayed this morning with the student leaders. If you don't know, we meet on Sundays. That's why it always smells like bacon
Nicole,
here.
Number two.
But we get together and we do some discipleship stuff. We talk about the week
dating,
coming up and we do some planning.
I kind of
and then as I was praying, I was talking to God
about and for those of you who are single, this is a great story for you.
Because when I was driving in this morning, my truck said negative 32.
Badly. So anyway,
and I'm like, this is pointless. Like,
after 7 years, I was just like, yes, what's going on with
that's it.
So then
negative 64 degrees below freezing this morning.
I'm telling you,
when I was
instantaneously, like a month into it, we started like planning. I go by
things
out, right?
Oh,
like,
do
we're
you?
Gonna have two jet skis.
Don't go by self.
We're gonna have this boat. We're gonna have this amazing house. I mean, I was working at the Bible bookstore at the time, making huge money.
So anyway,
$6
welcome.
An hour.
Thanks for being here. We've got a few things that we're going to go through the bulletin with you. And so if you have a bulletin, you'll see on the front
our lives
a delicious tree.
Together, right?
I don't know why I said delicious. It doesn't taste good. It's not a scratch and sniff.
One time we
open up, and then on the left, there's
house,
it says weekly ministries. And so this is stuff that we have going on weekly right here in the building or around town.
I was at my house.
And then
house,
the right is
this,
special events that we have going on. And so I'm going to tell you about stuff that's going on today. And then Seth is going to tell you about some stuff that's going on later. Or do you want to do that reverse order?
Okay,
so today we have the Super Bowl party going on. You can show up really anytime. We're going
to
have people here. But about 3:30. We'll start having some food ready and different things, and then the kickoff
like
is at 4:30.
And a half into
we have a massive. Do we call it a bouncy
and a half
house?
Later,
I keep calling it a bouncy house because that's not fair.
Yeah. Is not.
It's a huge.
Who I wanted to marry. Jungle Jim.
And so, Jungle Jim. Inflatable Jungle Gym.
Let's
massive. Call
it a Jungle
Gym. It's really big. And so we have that to keep kids entertained. We actually have a smaller one so that if you have smaller kids, they don't have to be on the big one. If any of you want to be in there, maybe take a quarter. There's four quarters to the
first
game. If you want to take a quarter and kind of watch kids and if there's broken arms, you can just grab that arm and pick it up.
So we went on a drive.
Dreams their parent, that would be awesome.
We
or just keep them from breaking their arms.
You
could use help with that too.
And,
but that's really all the help we need. We have wings coming.
Our
wings will be prepared
right
for the
away.
Next few hours
we
after
in the car, right? But
church gets
I've
over
like
and we're going to do French bread
like
pizza.
Out,
if you
like
do really want to bring
Laurel.
Something, just
and,
a dessert or a side
just,
to go with any of those things, and we can just enjoy the Super Bowl together
and fellowship. You should have just seen her face.
And then the other thing is I do have a leader meeting for adult and student leaders after church today. And we're just going to meet in a large classroom about 10 minutes after service.
First of all, you're doing this in a car where I can't leave. And second of all,
next thing on the list, if you'll know,
is
on the right hand side. If you'll open it up for me, you'll see that Ethan Cleaver is headed to Antigua, Guatemala. And so, Ethan, where are you?
Right here.
And
so
Ethan
is going
to be heading to Guatemala on June 23rd. And so what his organization that he goes with is they actually go in inner city
and
just do a
how do I put it?
Mime of sharing the gospel with people around them. And so he has the opportunity to do that. If you would be interested in helping him out, would you please come and talk to me? Or I put a website right there on the side, or sorry, in the bulletin.
What? And
www.neverthesamemissions.org. It's really
right? Like,
super
just in
easy
one punch,
to give
probably.
To him. He's
got
and about $1,400 left of his $3,300 that he needs
said,
to raise
to think.
And so it's just a great
blanket.
Opportunity for you to partner with him to share the gospel worldwide.
And
so
was
he's
like,
got support letters in the back that will tell you
me?
More of
and
what's
I was
going
just
on. But please.
Like,
pray
it was a good
and consider
blanket.
We're going to leave that in the
man,
bulletin
that just
for a couple
off.
Weeks.
That, and I'm not
you
joking.
Can just,
3 seconds
with
after
him
that,
to
I ran
share
over
the gospel. And you were just there in November.
I mean, like,
yeah, we were just
and then I laughed
she
again.
Was,
and I said, it's kind
of
like
one
our
of the,
relationship.
The main areas where a lot of impoverished people go. Is
I mean, I'm just, I'm amazing. I'm really good, right? And so,
Man, that's how Nicole number two ended with Seth Runner.
People for the gospel.
Yeah, she hates me to this day. By the way, does not want to talk to me. In fact, actually, there was at one point, like 2 years after our relationship, where a friend of mine went to her and she's like, "Other announcements that I missed this morning.
Fine without him."
Right here, Elizabeth over here. I hope she's doing really well without me. I look
Good
at that
morning.
In this
okay, so it's
in
the first Sunday of the month,
sense.
And
After
if you look in the seats
this,
in front of you, you'll see the colored cards, and this is for our women's connection cards. And if you'd like to be involved,
when we build
put your name
our life
down and a way to
on the right foundation,
you, put it in the offering
when winds
plate,
come,
and at the end of the
when
service,
happen,
there's going to be a basket on the welcoming center as you go out the front doors.
But when we build
card,
it on things like buying jet skis and buying boats and getting a bigger
and
house and
I hope
having
that you'll contact
tons of children, I don't know, all of these
so
sort of things.
It's been a lot of fun and
it really
a real
ends up being quite shaky when we finally realize what really matters in terms of things.
Great, thank you.
And so today, when we look at this idea of staying pure,
Anyone
I wonder
else?
If we could come to the point of going,
All right.
hey, for those of you who aren't married
hey, every
yet,
week
who are about
we just
to be married,
to
I hope
to,
that later on that
pray,
you would start building
for
that
our church and for the people in our
that
church.
That you would start
so,
building the right foundation
in
which
seat back
to look
in front of you
correctly.
Is a white card. And
if
you would
want
just be
some amazing
to
things
fill out your prayer
to look
requests,
at,
hey,
hey, there's a book that changed that,
and,
that changed the way I looked
those out,
at
drop it in the prayer
dating relationships.
Prayer
one of them was When God Writes Your Love
Story
by
we'll
Erica
Leslie
Ludi during this week. A couple things
and
that
the other book is,
I just
of course,
want to kind
a lot of us
have
read
Get Out, Kiss,
Dating,
Goodbye. Not my
last
favorite
week
one,
we
but
had
it's,
our
it's
annual meeting.
Great one.
And one
and
of the
one
things
of the
we talked
said,
about
is,
here's the deal.
Hey, our mission for our church is that we live the gospel joyously.
And
so,
and
we're teaching people how to do that.
Following God.
And so, if you would just continually put that on your prayer list, that's what we're doing. That our church
is to
glorify
God
and helping
people understand the gospel.
And we talked about that a while ago.
That
in the first one is what
is the fact that Jesus Christ,
actually sought the kingdom
God himself,
came down in the flesh
else.
And would die for us. And that we, because of that, we can believe in him and have everlasting
my question
life and
is, for those of you who are married, and maybe you've started out
so,
your relationship
be,
and kind
be
of
praying
maybe
for that,
not
that our church
the right
would continually
foundation.
Do that all the time. Because it's
I wonder
about
if
glorifying
maybe we
God.
Could
and
today
secondly,
switch
is
the
this,
mission
is that,
of your relationship
about the focus
just a little bit
for
more.
For 2018 would be that we would
come alongside
children's ministry.
And
so that's what I want you to keep on your prayer list.
And I do have a question
is this, is that we would continually look at how do we come alongside children's ministry and just with
what is your mission as a married
volunteering or
is it simply just
time,
to survive
and treasures whatever that
because
might be
because if it's just to survive
come alongside
the rest of
and,
what I'm going to talk about today
well.
Is going to
okay.
actually
cool
hurt your marriage
hey would you pray with us
this or
morning?
Is it to sit there and say we have got an amazing foundation in which we live our relationship on, and when the
Father
storm
God,
comes and when
come
things
to you this
hit,
morning.
We're okay. Here's what I think of most of the time. Did you know that, like, one of the, what, did you know?
We
I don't
know
why I started
that
with
you
that,
have everything
but
under
one
control.
Of my favorite viewpoints is
the God that
the,
you guide, that you
actually,
direct,
one of my favorite pictures,
lead,
I should say,
that
is
you sustain,
the
that
straw
you
huts sitting
the
out
creator of all
in,
things,
like,
and
on a beach, right?
Kingdom we're seeking after.
And I think about the idea of what happens when a huge storm comes by. We know those things are going, right? They're beautiful and they're amazing.
God,
and in fact, they're maybe just tied up in a cute little bow, right? We could even look at that
you,
in terms of relationships and maybe a relationship that you might think is pretty amazing
the
is the Brangelina story, right? The Brad and Angelina
God,
Jolie.
That works
they all
for
look
all
good,
sorts
but
of
where are they at now?
In the prayer request.
Right. They did all these amazing, wonderful things, and we've been, and the world has praised them for their amazing things, and yet
helping
see another relationship
love somebody
destroyed.
That's unlovable. To
I look at that picture and I think to myself,
that we've got
man alive,
on,
it's
broken
it's
families,
absolutely
all
pretty and amazing looking, but it really doesn't
God,
have any substance.
We want to live the gospel and glorify you in all of those. And so, God, would you
then
help
I think
us
about
to
the
turn
other end of the spectrum? If we were to look at something solid, in my picture, in my mind, I see this
God,
huge,
we wouldn't be
hardy
about
log
what's
cabin
going on in our lives, but that we would
got smoke coming out of it,
you and
right?
We would
but somebody had to chop
to
the wood at some point
and
pile
and
it all up, and they had to do
you.
The work to make it nice and cozy. And it's an absolute beautiful thing, but I don't think we realize the work that it takes to put that together.
the hours of maybe hauling things in just to level it out, the trees we had to chop to get there, the amount of tar we have to put in different places, or just bringing stuff in. It's not super easy, but it's worth it. And we sit there and we go, man, that looks cozy.
Lord, we also ask that
And so I wonder today, though, if I would ask that question, what is the mission?
Desires or anything like that. Lord,
what is your mission as a married couple?
Seth out of the way, but also
is it
move
to
our
be
own,
a light to everybody?
Mental blocks, our own spiritual blocks.
Is it
out
to
of the
be
way, Lord, help
the
us,
comforting, cozy place in which people go,
we're having in our relationship
that's something
with
different,
you,
and I want
to
see
ears,
they put the work into that and they put the effort into that so
that
they could see that maybe this is an amazing,
something selfish need that we have, but Lord, it's to
the relationship that God does with
us. Is to fill our cup to
that he would come down, that he would do
the
work, and that he would be willing to suffer,
and so, Lord,
so that we could have relationship with him.
The presence, the mind to be able to.
If the Bible talks about, actually, the Bible does talk about,
hey,
going and making disciples.
We ask all of these things.
Is your marriage a testament to be able to help
make disciples?
There
is for the cross. And all God's
is your marriage
said,
having the opportunity
amen.
To help people live?
Hey, I'm going to ask the ushers to come forward and we'll take
or
our morning's offerings.
Do people
if
just
you're
look
here
at it
visiting,
and go,
oh,
well,
just
know surviving. That you can allow
they're
the offering plate to go by if you would like. We
or
need
we
you to know that there is no
the
expectation
about that.
For that,
we,
that is
we
that our church
go,
is supported by the people who call this place their home. And so,
for 50 years,
the worship team, after the baskets are done, the worship team will lead us in worship.
What if we came to the point of sitting there and going, man, they've put the work, they're working together to make their marriage thrive. And it is glorifying to God, not just to them.
And so today I want to sit in a little bit of a scripture with you in Hebrews. And so if you have your Bibles, let's turn to Hebrews chapter 13 together. And this is the very end of the book of Hebrews. And I'm just going to tell you, I'm only going to pick one little verse out of this, but if you have time this week, would you please read this chapter? I mean, I am pulling out one little piece of scripture in this, and yet it is a huge list of ways in which we can have a sacrificial life to God.
What
and so in verse 4 is where we're going to be, chapter 13, verse 4. And this is what it says.
All our sins and griefs to bear.
Give honor to marriage.
What a privilege to
God will surely judge people who are immoral and those who are immoral. Another place it says this. It says, marriage should honor by
law.
Find your soulmate in this world. and circumvent maybe the idea of actually even seeking God first and allowing Him to match the right one for you.
The promises.
How about this one? Some of the ways that we actually don't honor is we love the idea of, hey, maybe we
Christ
should just move in
to
and
work
see
the
if we can
will be
so
known.
We move in with one another. And we
that
test out the
all
waters.
Who run
we
to Him would find their
room. The problem is right with moving in together, here's where it goes, is now we start getting into the arrows, which we know always changes things a little bit. We act on the very things, all the very things that we have to know.
Please be seated.
From being in a relationship with your spouse. How many of you, the very first thing that you do when you get to bed is you're just sitting there and you've got a book and you're reading a book and you're not really conversing with one another? How many of you, which, here's the deal, it might even be a Bible.
If you are 3 years old to third grade, you can head on out of here.
How many of you sit on your phones and are just scrolling aimlessly through Facebook? because, hey, this is how I wind down. I've got the kids to bed. Here we go. I need to check up on my Facebook. How many of you are, here's one that I do. I love to bring my laptop so that Virginia and I can maybe watch an Amazon movie before we go to bed. Which is crazy because I'm pretty sure the other night we watched a movie, but yet in that week we probably didn't pray with one another. And that's my fault. So when we talk about this idea that the marriage bed should be kept pure, I wonder if we have the desire to be with our spouse in bed and actually allow just us to be there. Allow us to talk to one another, spend time. It's not wrong to have a book, but I wonder if we allow other things to take that place in our beds. What about the idea of going to bed in anger? What about going to bed still fighting with one another? What about those of us who actually probably are doing things outside of the bed, but yet we're bringing those things in? We're having unwholesome talk. We're allowing things to get into our minds. And yet we're sitting there saying, man, I'm going to bring it in, but I'm going to keep it a secret. Because there are some of you that are addicted to pornography. And you're bringing it to your marriage bed all the time. Or those of you who maybe aren't married are grabbing a hold of those things and you're building a foundation on an unhealthy sexual relationship, and then you're going to bring that to your marriage bed in the future. I wonder if we could look at this and go, I want to keep my marriage bed pure. I wonder if you could maybe switch a little bit in your mindset today and think of it this way. That guys, from now on, wherever you're at, now on, because you want to follow Christ, you start to realize that your wife is your standard of beauty. And I'm gonna, that's from somebody I listened to a long, long time ago. And I'm gonna make one up myself, which is this, is that wives, that you would see that your husband is the standard of manliness. Because I'm here to tell you, and Tony, I'm going to throw you under the bus, but that's okay, you're my friend. Tony and I have a very special relationship. Tony, that's funny. Well, let's think about, hey, Tony and I have a very special relationship. Tony can look at something and he can go, yeah, I can make that better. I can fix that. That's amazing. I look at something and I go, yep, that's broke. I got to find somebody to fix it. Right? Like, I am not manly in terms of building an engine. I can't swap anything out. I can't, like, jerry-rig something to work together for a while. I can't do any of that, right? And then I bring that into my marriage bed going, I'm not as manly as Tony is. Virginia probably wants to be married to Tony. Right? And I'm here to tell you that my wife only wants to be married to me because Tony could never stand up here right now. Right? Tony could never be in this position to be able to speak. He'd fumble words. I mean, as cool as Tony is, he'd be so nervous all the sort of time. All the sort of time. All the time. And I think about that and I think to myself, here's the deal. How often do we not allow for that mindset to come across us? I even think about that, keeping the marriage bed pure. Man, I'm sure my wife would be rather married to somebody else. Well, she's not. She's married to you. And wives, you come and think the exact same thing over and over again. Man, I'm sure my husband would rather be married to some other hotter looking younger thing. Absolutely not. And if your husband says otherwise, have them come talk to me. I've got Tony as a friend who can beat him up. He's got big wrenches. No, I'm here to tell you that what if you started realizing that if your wife was the standard of beauty, that when you walked into a room, you could care less to look at any other woman but your wife. Because she's the whole entire package. More than just beautiful on the outside, beautiful on the inside. Because that's who you married. If we're going to look at honoring and keeping the marriage bed pure, man, what if we could think that? What if we could actually know that always? That our marriage vows that we said at the very beginning when we started our marriage, for better or worse, for richer and poorer, in sickness and in health, till death do us part. Honestly, what you're saying is it is not based on what they're doing, it's based on what you're going to do. I wonder if we could start getting that through our minds. That when we do, that men, when you do see another beautiful woman, that you would start to realize that you can bounce your eyes. That I'm not going to give another second towards that thought. That I'm not going to give any gaze longer than it needs to be, because that woman pales in comparison to my wife. That the one that you're married to has got the total package. I wonder if you realize that. And I hear that a lot of you are probably saying, well, you don't understand. My wife is like this. No, I do understand. Your wife is sinful. And so are you. So, man, do you have a desire to sit there and go, no, I want to keep my marriage bed pure. That I am not allowing other things to creep in, other thoughts to creep in. Women, I am sure that there are other men who probably do talk to you, and your husband doesn't, and you're like, I just wish my husband would talk to me. And so you go down the path. But guess what? Maybe if you change that a little bit and you just said, hey, I just want to talk to you tonight. No fighting, just want to talk. Because we talked about fighting fair last week. I wonder if that would change your mindset, that my husband is my standard of manliness. Because here's the other deal that I need to realize, and wives, you can realize too, is as amazing as Tony is and as amazing as I am, there's somebody way better out there than both of us. And it's called your husband. Because we're all sinners. And we all fall short. So the next question then becomes, well, then how do we change our mindset? Because if all of us have fallen short and some of us have not kept the marriage bed pure, what do we do then? And I think that there's only three responses that you can have to the impurity that you've allowed into your marriage. Or into your own thought process, into your hearts. And the first response is this, is that we get defensive. It's not the best thing, just to tell you. But this is some of the response. Well, you don't understand. My wife should be giving me this, or my husband should be doing this. Still doesn't give us the right to allow impurity to come in. There's a great, guys, if we're going to talk about, girls, I'm sorry, I don't have much for you because I'm going to get on the guys a little bit for the defensiveness part. But, man, Matthew chapter 5, Jesus says this. He says, but I tell you, anyone who looks at a woman lustfully has already committed adultery with her in his heart. When we've already looked at this in Hebrews chapter 13, for God will judge the adulterer and the sexually immoral. Guys, if you've ever looked at somebody other than your wife lustfully, you've committed adultery. This isn't for those who have had affairs or anything like that. No, this is, you have to realize this is us. But Seth, you don't understand. I don't get what I want, and I need more sex and all these different things. No, I completely understand. Maybe you've lost the vision of, maybe you've lost the mission of what it means to be in a relationship. And then we don't change anything about what's happened to us, right? We just continually being defensive and allow ourselves to continue going on. There's no heart change whatsoever. It's almost as if we're trying to make excuses for our sin. The next one is this, is that the second response that we have is we have remorse, right? We feel bad for what we did. Yeah, you're right, I'm sorry. But we do nothing to fix it. We do nothing in the process to do anything. And so, yeah, sure, we feel bad, but guess what? We're just going to continue to keep going on with what we're doing. I'm sorry. You can do it this way. You can even say, I'm sorry that I got caught. I'm sorry that I got caught. And so we do more things to actually help us not get caught anymore, right? We actually do really good things. Man, there's programs out there that we can put on our computers that allow us not to get into that position anymore, right? We have Safe Eyes. We have, and every single time you go on the internet, it sends an email to all your accountability partners. And it allows them to know what you're seeing and what you're not. And so you kind of mitigate it, but it's not really changing your heart. You're just kind of circumventing around it. And here's the deal. A lot of people say, a lot of people will come up to Brian or I and come into counseling with us. And they'll just say, man, I just need to get rid of X, Y, and Z in my life, especially pornography, which we know is huge in today's culture. Man, it's easier to get more than ever on our phones. And so yet we just kind of deal with it. And here's what we say. We say, hey, you're not looking at pornography because because your wife is doing something bad or because you're not getting what you want. No, you're looking at pornography because you don't have a relationship with Jesus Christ. If you would realize that you're powerless and no amount of putting something in or trying to mitigate things or not talking to that guy or gal because we don't want to have an emotional affair or anything like that. No, it is asking us to do the work of having a relationship with Jesus Christ. It means being with him daily. It means looking at these things and going, if it says that I'm going to commit adultery by looking at a girl last week, I'm just not going to do it. And God, I need your help. Which is the third and best response. Which brings us to the third and best response. Repent. It's repentance. And repentance is this, is that you realize that your heart is wrong. And that the only person that has the opportunity to fix it is Jesus. Jesus is the healer. Jesus is the healer in this. The Holy Spirit gives us the power to go, no, I am wrong, and I am sorry. I'm not going to be defensive anymore, and I am sorry. This is wrong, and I turn away from it. 1 Corinthians 6:18 says this, flee from sexual immorality. Flee from it, not, hey, just mitigate it. No, flee, turn around, and run. Run away from it. Second Corinthians 7:10, Brad, you had it up there, so you can leave it up there. Godly sorrow, for the kind of sorrow God wants us to experience, leads us away from sin and results in salvation. There's no regrets for that kind of sorrow, but worldly sorrow, which lacks repentance, results in spiritual death. And if we do not repent, we're going to find ourselves back in our old ways. Nothing has changed. We're just behavioral modification. It's about a relationship with Jesus Christ. It's about seeking him first. And here's how I would look at it. As if you're finding yourself where you don't have, that you've had impurity in your marriage. Man, go back to step number one. seek God. And then you can fight fair. And then you can begin to have fun. And then you stay pure. Now here's the deal. There are some of you in this room who have already gone through really hard times. Some of you in this room who have had broken marriages. Some of you in this room who have had impurity rip your marriage apart. And I want to tell you that the gospel of Christ comes and says, I can help you with that. It's not easy. We deal with people who come into our office over and over again saying, yeah, but Seth, you don't realize what happened to me. How can I forgive? And I want to challenge you with something. I want to ask you the question, how does Christ forgive you? And I know we're human beings, and I know it's not easy. But God saw us in our most helpless estate, and he knew we were wrong. And he said, it's okay, I'll still come and be with you. You're wrong, and you have literally not kept things pure between us. But God comes to us and says, I want to be a part of your life still. I want to have a relationship with you. And so it starts with repentance. Maybe there are those of you who need to repent to your spouse and say, I'm sorry for being impure in our marriage. And the other spouse needs to go, man, that's really hard, but I want to forgive you and I want to move forward. Let's seek God together. Notice I didn't say, let's seek what you think is okay for retribution. No, let's start seeking God together. Because I wonder what would happen if we just started allowing the love of Christ to come in. How many of our marriages could be healed? How many of them could be mended? How many of them could come back to a point where we know that the only reason why we're still together is because of the Holy Spirit working in our hearts? I'm no longer going to let impurity get into my marriage. I'm going to invite the worship team up and we're going to pray and then we're going to sing a song. And while we're singing that song, I wonder if you would be willing to ask God that if you need your heart changed today, that you would ask for the ability for your heart to change, that you would seek repentance, that you would ask God to forgive you, and that you would change the trajectory of your heart. And then Brian's going to come and close us in prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, God, we want to be people who have a great foundation of what it means to honor marriage and what it means to stay pure in marriage. And God, would we not be defensive and would we not simply just have remorse about what we're doing, but would we see that this is wrong and that we need to change? That God, you invite us into an amazing relationship with you and you love us so much that you would send your son to be the sacrifice, to be the person that allows us to repair relationships with, to repair the relationship with you. And that God, in turn, that repairs, that can give us the strength to repair relationship with each other. Because God, your law says to love you with everything and to love our neighbor as ourselves, and our spouses are our neighbors and our future spouses will be the closest neighbor. And Lord, we don't want to get that wrong. We want to honor and we want to cherish that. And God, would we not let impurity invade and would we flee from all of those? God, would you heal marriages? Would you send your Holy Spirit to draw people closer to you so that they can be drawn closer to each other? God, for some reason, I'm even just thinking of physical ailments in marriage. God, if there's any physical ailments in marriage, God, would you heal? Would you repair? And would you restore? So that their marriages glorify you. God, that they can look back and know that it was all because of you and not because of them. So God, would we stay pure in our marriages? In your name we pray. Amen.
Even the sin that's
good. Good worship. Today is the Super Bowl, if you guys don't know. One thing, I was listening to the radio. I listened to a sports radio station on satellite radio the other day. And, sorry, it was satellite radio. but they were talking about what's called the salary cap. And I'm not going to go into great detail, but apparently each of the 32, 36, whatever teams there are in the NFL, they get, and I can't remember the exact number, it's either $172 or $176 million a year that they can spend on salary. And they're capped at that. They had to make a rule to stop the teams from spending too much money so one team wouldn't get more power than the other team. And so I'm not going to try to do amazing Seth math up here, but really quickly, if we just say 172 million times 32 teams, just in what they can spend on salary, not advertising, not buildings, not all the rest of the stuff that comes from, you know, training and different things like that, but just in the salary they can pay the players and coaching and staff, they're capped at that. And we multiply that out by 32 teams, and then we have the NFL, and we culminate to a day like today, which is one of the most watched television things ever, even though it's down this year and how much is going to be watched. There's an industry out there that makes more money than the NFL does a year. And actually, you can then take the NFL and you can add the NBA into it, the National Basketball Association, with all of those players and all their salary caps and all of the money that they make. You can add that to what the NFL makes. And then you can take another sporting thing that's really big in America called the Major League Baseball. And you can take all of that and you can put it into this lump as well. And all of their salaries and all the money made from advertising and everything else still pales in comparison to one industry in the United States, that's the porn industry. The 8 of 10 men not just look, suffer from an addiction in the United States. One website in the United States last year, or not last year, it was 2016, I think, maybe it was earlier than that, but had a million years viewed of video content on just that one website in 1 year. We have an extreme problem in the United States that we're all gathered behind and we're all not talking about. Seth and I have talked many times about wanting to do a class to bring good Christian men together. The problem is these Christian men are going to have to realize they have a problem. And so we wouldn't have any attenders of the class, because 80% of us wouldn't admit that we have a problem with purity. There's definitely a problem. It's definitely right here in this room. And it's not just with that industry. There's so many other ways that we defile our relationship with our wife and with Christ. And so the boring answer is the real answer. That through the entire Old Testament, God gave us ways that we could earn our way. And we just talked about it with student leadership this morning, about how intricate and how hard it was for them in the Old Testament to just meet with God for moments a year in the tabernacle, in the holiest of holies, all the rules that we had to do to try to just meet with him for just moments, and we couldn't do it. But Christ lives with us right now, and all of those purity problems go away. The only way, what did I write down? How do we make something pure? We don't. We can't. Jesus can make your marriage pure. And so the Awana answer, as I say, you know, no matter what answer, question you ask in Awana, hey, what color is that tree? Jesus! Yep, you're right. Which hand am I holding up, the left or the right? Jesus! But that is the answer. God is the answer. You're not making your marriage bed impure with Jesus there. You're not making these moments in your life impure with Jesus there. He doesn't walk with us through impurity. He brings us out of it. And so the answer is the one answer. It's Jesus. And then it's what he says that we need to do, and that's fine relationship with other people that have found that the answer is Jesus. And we strengthen each other to keep going to Jesus. Let's pray. Dear Lord, thank you so much for everything it takes to work through a Sunday morning with an amazing worship team and volunteers at our Welcome Center, people in the prayer room and running classes, and those up in the media area, and our ushers, and everybody that comes here and adds to the family, your family, Christ. We thank you so much for this amazing church family. Lord, some things that you say can be convicting to us, and I know a lot that you say can be convicting to me, and I pray that we don't stifle, that we don't just be remorseful, that we don't get defensive, but Lord, that we repent and we turn to you. Lord, I pray that those that need help seek help, and that Lord, as we go through the rest of our day, may we continue to just glorify you and you alone. We love you, Lord. We ask all of these things in the name of your Son, and we leave him at the most level playing field there is, the foot of the cross. And all God's people said, amen. Have a great Sunday.